Welcome to HCS Talks. I'm your host, Superintendent of Hampton City Schools, Raymond Haynes. This is the second season of HCS Talks, the Hampton City Schools podcast. If it matters to our students, families, teachers, or community, we are here to discuss it. Our goal is to inform, educate, and even entertain you. Many of our discussions offer valuable insights for everyone, no matter who you are. So we hope you will tune in and continue listening to HCS Talks. Today, I have the privilege of sitting down with Ms. Brittany Branch, our Chief Financial Officer for Hampton City Schools. So, welcome, Ms. Branch, to HCS Talks. I'd like to first start by sharing with the listening audience that last night we presented the 25-26 superintendent's proposed budget to our school board, so I thought it fitting to invite Ms. Branch to today's podcast. However, before we dive into our discussion, Ms. Branch, please tell the listening audience a little bit about yourself.
Thank you, Dr. Haynes. It's a pleasure to be here on the podcast with you.
Well, we're glad to have you, Ms. Branch.
So I have been with Hampton City Schools since August of 2018. Prior to that, I was at a neighboring school division, but I've been operating in the role of Chief Financial Officer for probably over a decade now. And it's been very rewarding to, one, match my skills, one is a certified public accountant, but also matching those skills with my passion for education, as I believe that education is really the great equalizer, you know, within this nation, really in the world.
Well, we're very fortunate to have you as our Chief Financial Officer, and we're glad that you chose to leave a neighboring district and join Team HCS. So are you from the Hampton Roads area?
Technically, no. Born in North Carolina, but I was raised here in Virginia since I was two, so I kind of call Virginia home, really.
And you attended college in the Hampton Roads area?
I did. I'm a proud graduate of Hampton University.
The home by the sea.
Yes, my home by the sea, quintessence six. Also, I did go to Old Dominion University for my master's degree as well.
All right.
Yep, so yep, locally.
Outstanding, outstanding. So you claim Virginia as your home despite still having roots in North Carolina.
Yes, since I've been here forever, pretty much all my life.
So what sparked your interest in accounting and finance? You have family history in accounting and finance?
Kind of. So my grandmother, she has a background in banking, but actually when I was in high school, had an opportunity to take an elective class in accounting. And for some reason, I just fell in love with it. So from that point on, I knew I was going to major in accounting. Did not know what type of jobs existed. I just knew I liked math, liked numbers. I enjoyed the class. It came easy to me. So I said, you know what? I'm going to be an accounting major. And it worked out.
It has worked out exceptionally well for Hampton City Schools and having you as part of the team. So, Ms. Branch, let's start with a fun icebreaker as the Chief Financial Officer. If you had to describe the school budget in three words, what would they be?
Three words. I would probably say strategic, also purposeful, and what's another good word? Large.
Large.
It's a large.
It encompasses about how much money, roughly?
Altogether, over $350 million.
Over $350 million.
Yeah, like a Powerball jackpot.
So, coupled with that, if the budget had a theme song, what would it be?
Oh, two songs are coming to mind. One is Bills, 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 only because, you know, we have a lot of expenses that we have to pay for. But also, take it back to the 90s, more money, more problems. By the late Notorious B.I.G. And really not that, you know, it's a problem to have, you know, a lot of money. But in school finance, the more money you have, there's oftentimes requirements, restrictions, and there's rules that have to be followed.
Yes, ma'am. So now let's talk about the budget. I said bills, 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 more money, more problems. Can you give us a budgeting for beginners breakdown of how school funding actually works?
So the best way I try to explain school funding is to think of it like a bank and then checking account, since we typically have those in our personal lives. So for example, within Hampton City Schools, we have seven different funds. So think of those seven funds as seven different banks. And then within those banks, of course, you have money that's deposited. So let's say Bank A is our main operating fund. So the deposits that come in, they come in from the state, they come in from the federal government, and they come in from the local government, and then other revenue sources, which we just say miscellaneous revenue sources. So within that bank, you also have your different checking accounts. So we have a checking account for teacher salaries. We have a checking account for utilities, checking account for instructional materials. So as deposits are coming in, that revenue is coming in. As we're paying teachers, we're paying it out of the teacher checking account. We're paying our utility costs out of your utility checking account. So that is the, I guess, the most simplified way I can describe school finance.
Well, one of the things I know you do well is when you're presenting the budget or anything relating to school finance, you do it in such a way that it is very easy for the internal and external stakeholders to understand. So much so that I even oftentimes will have my daughter watch and say, listen to Ms. Branch present this budget and tell me if you truly understand it. And, you know, her along with other folks are able to sort of kind of present back to me their understanding of it. And based on how you present it, it's a very easy and seamless way to have folks that are not familiar with this work to be able to understand how we operate with our finances overall. So looking at the proposed budget for the 25-26 school year, what are the priorities for Hampton City Schools?
So our top three priorities, I would say, definitely competitive compensation for teachers and staff. Also, looking at security, as we say, never such thing as being too safe. And then also, you know, we want to make sure that we continue to invest in the main thing, which is teaching and learning.
Core business. So you mentioned the over $350 million budget.
Yes.
What would you say encompasses the bulk of that budget?
Definitely salaries and benefits. Salaries, so the people. Yep, the people. The people resources that we have.
Because board members will often say, and folks that know this work will say, you can tell what an organization prioritizes based on how they utilize the funding within their budget. So the people and human resources is where we make our priorities known and making certain that we do focus on competitive compensation for staff in general.
Yes.
So what would be the biggest misconception people have about school finance?
I think the biggest misconception is that, you know, if you have $100, as an example, you can just spend that $100 on anything you want to. So kind of going back to what I said earlier with, you know, the more money, more problems, you know, oftentimes that $100, it has rules, requirements. Sometimes it can be a list of allowable costs if it's from a grant fund. So it's not just having $100 in your hand. You have to know how to spend it correctly or appropriately, I should say.
Makes sense. So, Ms. Branch, what would you consider to be the most challenging part of balancing a school budget?
Probably that, you know, it's not often that you get requests that are just totally bad. You know, oftentimes everything that comes in are all good things, but it's not an unlimited budget. So you have to prioritize. So, you know, you can have 100 good things, but only 20 can actually get funded. So I would say that's probably the hardest part, that you end up having to say no to something that it is a good thing and it may actually be a need. It's just not a need that can be prioritized this year.
At this point. Mm-hmm. So, and it makes a lot of sense because everyone can come in with a passion for the areas that they oversee or are a part of. And when you look at it in its totality, we just can't say yes to everything that comes to the table. Yep. So we do have to look at prioritizing and making certain we keep those top priorities at the forefront in terms of what the board is expecting and then what we know to be what is in the best interest of the school division as a whole.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's something in the budget that people might be surprised to learn we spend money on?
This is a hard one. Let me think from a taxpayer in my own city that I live in, what would I be surprised about? Probably that, you know, you think about education and you think about the classroom, the teachers, the instructional assistants, the materials that students utilize, but you don't think about the infrastructure. So you don't think about the utility costs. You don't think about the electricity, the water, the repairs that have to be done. So, you know, all of the maintenance type items that could come up, you know, we have to make sure we have adequate funding for those items as well. So I would say people probably don't think about that first when you think education.
It just brings to mind you're looking at each one of the buildings that we have. It's almost like your house. There could be some things that are going to break down. You might need to replace the roof, but you have to pay for all the utilities and all the separate buildings and looking at it from that capacity as well. But even in looking at how we sort of kind of plan out the capital improvement projects, that all is a part of our operating budget, correct?
Yes.
If you could magically add unlimited funding to one area of the budget, what would it be and why?
Now, I feel like this question is a setup. And I say that because there's so many things that are important, you know, within the school budget. So since I have to just pick one, I would definitely say our teacher salaries.
All right.
But I do feel like that was a setup because there's other things, too. But teacher salaries, yes.
Well, we know they are at the heart of the organization.
Yes, they are.
We talk about our core business being that of teaching and learning and what we've been charged with and keeping the main thing, and that is the main thing. That coupled with making certain that our buildings are safe and nurturing. So look at how you have to prioritize with the competitive compensation piece because we are, what the folks realize it or not, we are competing with surrounding districts, and we do want folks to choose Hampton City Schools as their place of employment and also the place to educate their young people if, in fact, they are with children.
Yep, absolutely.
So you sort of answered this before in a previous question. Have you ever had to say no to a budget request?
Yes, yes.
So under what guise are you saying no? So, is it just based on priorities or just because you may have had some request that was sort of kind of unusual?
I really can't think of a request that was unusual. At least it's not coming to me at this point in time. But, you know, I often have to say no only because it could be a funding, not enough funding, like I said, to do everything. Or sometimes it just may not be allowable. It could be a great idea, but that might not be, you know, the best thing to spend money on at this point in time. So, you know, I definitely have had to say no.
One of the things I know to be true for us, and I would imagine other school divisions as well, we have a great check and balance system here. So folks will put in requests. It goes through a process that entails whether it's the department head or the principal approving. Then it comes down central office, whether it's the respective division leadership team member approving it. Then it comes to your department. And what types of things are you all looking for prior to putting your final stamp of approval on it?
Justification is huge. So that is the best way to get a no from me, if I don't have justification. Or if I reach out to get justification and I don't hear back. Right. So that's an easy no. Right. Because it's like, I can't even explain or articulate what you want to do. So that's an easy no. But we're looking forward, you know, does this align with the strategic plan? Mm-hmm. You know, how does this further that plan? You know, how does this impact students? You know, how does this impact staff? You know, how does this continue to push our mission forward? So those are the things that, you know, we look for.
Makes a lot of sense. So what's one thing you wish every teacher or parent knew about the school budget?
Probably that, you know, in making the budget decisions, we don't take anything lightly. You know, we really try to prioritize as much as we can. And again, it may seem that $350 million is a lot of money, but there are a lot of priorities, there are a lot of requirements and a lot of responsibilities that, you know, those dollars have to go to. So we really, you know, we don't take the decision-making process lightly at all when it comes to the public funds that we receive.
And I know you mentioned receiving funds from the state, federal, and local levels. Without getting too much into the weeds, can you sort of kind of describe what that looks like? And maybe spend a little time talking about the local fund contribution.
Yes. So at the state level, so money flows to us through the Virginia Department of Education, mainly through the Standards of Quality funding formula, which that's utilized for all school divisions across the Commonwealth. Then we also have other state programs that they fund. For example, the Virginia Preschool Initiative, where they fund a certain amount of slots for the city of Hampton. At the federal level, we have federal grants, but we also have federal programs such as the Impact Aid Program, which helps to relieve the burden, quote-unquote burden, of having federal property within your city because you're not receiving any taxes on it. And then from a local level, we receive money within the city of Hampton through a local funding formula. So the city is actually sharing 61.83% of certain taxes, with the largest being residential real estate taxes, with the school division as an example.
So is that something that's common from one locality to the next? I know you were in another school division prior to coming here. Is that the same type of setup in terms of the local contribution?
No. So, and I don't know if things have changed in my previous division, but when I was there, we did not have a funding formula. So what that meant was every time we developed the budget, if we had a shortfall, then we have to go to city council and ask for whatever amount of money to cover that shortfall. The good thing about a funding formula, you pretty much know what you're going to get up front. So it just helps for better planning. So it takes that, what you can sometimes see in other cities or counties, that back and forth between city council and school board, it pretty much takes that part of it out.
So how would you describe, I guess, the relationship between Hampton City Schools and the city of Hampton, and do they participate, I guess, in the budget process? Do members of the city participate in the budget process with us and vice versa? Or how does that work?
Absolutely. The partnership between the city of Hampton, city council, and the school board is really a model for probably the nation. And not to keep comparing it to my previous school division, but it's really night and day. We just had our buddy meetings with the city council, and it was just refreshing to be able to sit down and to talk through our budget so they understand, you know, how we are looking to allocate our resources next school year, because it's not only important for the school division, but it's important for the city as a whole. So it's just awesome to be able to sit around a table and, you know, have these preliminary discussions with the city council present. And, you know, they're able to ask questions, you know, and it really comes from a place of wanting to support all the time. So it's a really great partnership that we have, and I have not seen or heard anything like it anywhere else.
We're certainly very fortunate, and we have adopted that mantra of one community, one transformation, and to actually model what that looks like and all the work that we do speaks volumes to their level of involvement, even with the budget process for us. And this funding formula speaks volumes to them fully supporting the educational system and recognizing how it can be or is a primary economic driver for the city as well. It's always pleasing to sit down with city council or the mayor or the vice mayor or city manager, and they're able to talk extensively about the good and great things Hampton City Schools has to offer. And we can talk about the good and great things the city of Hampton has to offer. So it is a true partnership, and one, like you mentioned, that I believe is a model for the country. So snacks or spreadsheets, what gets you through the budget season?
That's a hard one. Right now, it might be snacks. As you know, I like to always take a little snack when I leave your office.
we keep it fully stocked just for our chief financial officer.
But most of the time, it's spreadsheets. I mean, there's just so much data that we have to go through. I mean, we do keep a lot of spreadsheets. We do.
You're pretty skillful at navigating through the spreadsheets. You know which one to go to for what, and I guess that's just that accounting and finance background that you have.
Oh, yeah.
Oftentimes it can be a little overwhelming for me, but that's why I have you by my side when I'm looking at all this information. So, Ms. Branch, what's harder, explaining the budget to the public or actually balancing it?
Probably explaining it.
Why is that?
Because you want to explain it in a way that it's easy to understand, but you don't want to explain it in a way that you're not being transparent. But if you can be a little too transparent, meaning I'm giving you so many details that I'm not really leaving you better off than, you know, before you even heard all of this. So probably explaining it. You want to make it simple, but you also want to make sure there's meat on the bone, you know, in that conversation as well.
And just in our conversations and having worked together for so many years now, it is obvious to me that is one of your strengths in terms of explaining the budget to the public, but also balancing it. I would actually say you are equally highly proficient in both of those areas. We are very fortunate to have you as part of Team HCS, but every time you present with someone who knows nothing about finances and numbers and what have you, they come out, I think, feeling a little bit more empowered and knowledgeable about the process. So we certainly thank you for all that you do and all that you bring to the table. So how many times do you check the numbers before submitting the final budget?
I don't even know. Countless. Countless.
Yeah, sometimes I get a little nervous when I see you calling me because it may be something that we have to go back and take another look at. So I always know it's based on your great attention to detail that when that call comes in, that there's something we might need to go back and revisit.
Well, there's always a recommendation. I always say we got to do this, but this is how we can fix it.
So do you work with this sort of kind of a side note, just a thought for me. Do you work with or reach out to your colleagues in other divisions about their budget process? And if so, what does that look like for you?
Honestly, I really haven't. I actually have some people in other school divisions that reach out to me for advice on how to navigate, you know, certain things. So I really haven't reached out to other school divisions. I mean, I really feel like we have such a strong process here. And really, when I came to Hampton, there was already a strong process here. I just feel like I just took it a step further, honestly.
Continue to build from places of strength.
Yep.
And we recognize that as a whole as well. So as we wrap up, where would you suggest the listening audience go if they want to find details about our budget?
So definitely go to the Hampton City Schools webpage. Under the quick links, you'll see a budget information selection there. Definitely click on it. We have Just the Facts, Q&A. We also have links to all of the presentations and some nice infographics that kind of give you that quick, you know, what's in the budget. So definitely go to our main Hampton City Schools webpage.
So you actually have a link on the page. Is it called the FBI or?
Yes, that's our finance business information page. Yes, the FBI.
Finance business information page. What types of things would one find if they clicked on that?
Oh, a lot of information. No, that website is really a website that we created mainly for our internal stakeholders. It's public to anybody, but really it really just helps inform people of all the processes and procedures and forms that we have and utilize within Hampton City Schools. You also can find links to previous budgets as well.
So for folks who may not have listened to the budget presentation last night, are there highlights that you want to sort of kind of share from the budget?
So
key takeaways.
Key takeaways. See, I really want them to go listen and look at it. So I'll just say this. Key takeaways is we care about our people. And we know that there's hard work being done in the classrooms, outside of the classrooms. And we value the work that's done. And I believe that this budget, you know, shows that.
Absolutely. A very collective and comprehensive approach in looking at the priorities from the board. And you put out a survey with internal and external stakeholders, and the responses from that survey sort of coincided nicely with what the board's priorities were. So
yes.
Everyone is speaking from the same sheet of music in terms of what we value and what we should focus on for our school division as a whole. It is always a pleasure talking to you about this work that I know you're passionate about. So before we wrap up, for real this time, is there anything else you'd like to share with the listening audience?
No, just thanking everyone, you know, those who are in Hampton, thank you all for supporting the school system. You know, this is a collective work of the community, and it takes all of us.
Absolutely. Well, we know that you're an integral part of this work and overseeing this over $350 million budget with our priorities at hand and maximizing every child's learning, creating safe and nurturing environments as well. And that whole focus and aspect of attracting, developing, and retaining exceptional staff. And we know through your leadership and that collaborative effort, we will continue to showcase and highlight the good and great things Hampton City Schools has to offer. So we thank you for being here today and providing information about school budgets. You actually made it entertaining. I am certain our listeners have taken away some valuable information from our discussion. And to our listeners, remember, education is the most powerful weapon you can use to change the world. As one community, one transformation, we will ensure academic excellence for every child, every day, whatever it takes. We will catch you next week.
Listen to learn more about Hampton City Schools. New episodes of HCS Talks drop on Thursdays. Subscribe and listen to HCS Talks. HCS Talks is a Hampton City Schools production.